Welcome back here to Silver and Black today, and this is hour number two, and we're excited to be able to talk today with Rod Graves, the executive director of the Fritz Pollard Alliance Foundation. Of course, FPA exists to champion diversity in the National Football League through education and providing its members with resources to help them succeed at every level of the game. Of course, it is hiring season, both on the field for coaches and in the front office for key front office positions, and the idea of diversity and minority candidates in the NFL is an important one. It's one that Rod has been working on and one that the Fritz Pollard Alliance has been working on for a long time. Rod, thanks for joining us here today and talking about the issue.
Thank you. I'm happy to be on with you guys and been looking forward to the conversation.
Awesome. All right. So let's start right in with this, because I think number one, the first thing I wanted to frame, Rod, and I know you worked a long time in the NFL, is that there are some folks out there, and I don't think it's that they're doing it to be negative, but I think there's some folks out there who don't quite understand the issue. They look at it in a very simplistic fashion and say, well, the best person gets the job. Why are we talking about minority candidates? Why are we not talking about just the best person get the job? For those people not real familiar with what's happened in the NFL, the progress that's been made, the work that you do on a daily basis, could you frame for us the issue and why it continues to be one in the National Football League?
Sure. We all advocate the best person getting the job. But the issue for us is that the best person is not always the one at the table being interviewed. And so it's really about opportunity. And so when I look back over the entire history of the NFL, and professional football has been around for over 100 years, the NFL has been in existence for an extensive period of time. When you look at our numbers, where we've got two African-American general managers, three to four, of course, we've got a couple of interim head coaches, but let's just say three African-American head coaches and one additional person of color in Ron Rivera. When you look at those type of numbers, and let me just add to that one club president who's African-American. When I look at those numbers over the extensive period of time, I do not reflect on that as progress, especially in light of the fact that we have over 70% of the players on the field who are Black, and 30% are represented in the assistant coaching establishment. We're not asking for a certain level to be attained, but we know that it's not where it is today. It should not be. There should be more representation. And let me just end by saying here that I have stood on the field personally with many of these coaches, a number of which are on your staff, Edgar Bennett, Kirby Wilson, and many others across the league. I know how qualified these guys are for leadership. I know the extensive work that they put into it. They're teachers. They do a great job. So many of them should be represented at the interview table, and that's what we're here to bring attention to.
Rod, as we continue to explore this conversation and we talk about the Rooney Rule, and we talk about men in color in the front office, like you were talking about, definitely can appreciate all the efforts that are being made. And the conversations, especially that I've always had as a man of color myself, as a young African American myself, I've always said that we just want an even playing field. We're not asking for a handout. We're not asking for any charity. We just want an even playing field. But I've always also kind of, questioned sometimes. You see a lot of interviews that take place, and it just kind of sometimes feels like that's just to satisfy the Rooney Rule. That's a satisfy the Rooney Rule interview right there. How do you kind of stop certain guys from being what it feels like just Rooney Rule interviews?
Well, let me just speak to the Rooney Rule for 1 second by saying that when the Rooney Rule was put in place, some years back, maybe 12, 13 years back, if that long. It was really to address the issue that not enough Blacks were being represented at the interview table. We struggled very often just to have a chance to interview for jobs. So the Rooney Rule was invoked to ensure that at least we would have representation in the process. And I applaud the league for that. I think it was certainly a significant industry move in order for the league to agree to take on that kind of commitment. But what we found is that the Rooney Rule in and of itself is just a tool. It does not bind the decision makers. And so if there's not a commitment to diversity, if there's not a general understanding that diversity is good for the game, then we're going to continue to struggle. And in many ways, we haven't made the progress that we need to unless there's buy-in from ownership that diversity is something that is something that enhances the game, that for, in many ways, quantitatively and qualitatively, it improves the game of football, and it makes the game available to everyone at all levels. And I think that's what the National Football League should be about.
Again, we're talking to Rod Graves, Executive Director of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, about minority hiring in the National Football League. And Rod, you just mentioned it there, talking about the owners in the NFL. And there obviously is the decision makers when it comes to hiring. Yes, you know, coaching staffs have the ability to hire assistants and other folks like that. But when it comes to head coaching positions, the most visible there is in the NFL, along with front office positions. And I've said for a long time, Rod, that, you know, coaching, there's a lot of focus on the coaching, and I understand why. Because there's more opportunities there. Obviously, it's very visible. But in the front office, too, I mean, there's guys like Martin Mayhew, who we know about, who have been given chances, and maybe things don't work for them, and then they're not given second chances. When you talk about working with Fritz Pollard and working with the NFL, I know you've had a lot of progress with the league. What about the ownership? Are you finding that you're getting notable progress there and that teams are reaching out to the Alliance now and really wanting your help to understand how they can do better?
Well, on that topic, and you've raised a number of outstanding points, but on that topic, I will certainly say that I have to credit the commissioner, his staff, notably Troy Vincent, who have done an incredible job of keeping this topic of diversity and lack of in the leadership structure across the league, keeping it at a heightened level of visibility and awareness for ownership. They've done a significant job of that over the years, past 2 years in particular. But what, again, what we're finding is that at the end of the day, the results or the progress is in the results or lack of. I believe this year we've been given more attention to scrutinizing candidates, which we appreciate. I think there's been more Black candidates involved this year with the interview process, which we appreciate. Many of them are highly viewed as quality candidates. You mentioned Martin Mayhew. There's been a number of others out there. Well, Martin, you know, is one of those top candidates. But I can go across the board with a number of guys that I think, whether it's Jerry Reese, who holds two Super Bowl rings, or Rick Smith, who was a former executive vice president and general manager in Houston, Reggie McKenzie, formerly with your organization. There are many guys out there who are capable of really exerting the kind of championship caliber leadership that's needed to run a football team. And yet we don't see those guys getting the opportunities that we see with our counterparts across the league. And while we recognize that as a fact of life, I think the NFL needs to recognize that in order for us to really take a true step toward diversity and equity and fairness and all of the things that we've heard the league talk about, especially during this past offseason, then we've got to change our attitudes. We've got to change our hiring policy. We've got to be serious about really hiring and giving a door to young African-American, whether they be on the coaching side or on the business side. And so I think from that standpoint, we've got a great deal more work to do in order to see the kind of results that we're looking for. And it starts with a commitment on this issue from the owners.
Rod, earlier in 2020, in the summer, you know, they had this compensation idea was rolled out. It was approved, and then it was kind of shelved, and then I think it was readdressed again in November. And I apologize if I'm not up to date on exactly where we stand with that right now. And I know it had to do with front office hirings. It also had to do with promotions and hirings of minorities. Where do we stand on the compensation, where it was a few draft picks, and why was it ultimately shelved?
Well, you know, let me go back and say that what the league introduced originally was a system whereby if an incumbent team who held a candidate, that if they were to hire, develop that candidate, and then see that candidate hired by another club, then the compensation would go to the team that was hiring them as an incentive to go after minorities, especially if they were close in some situations between candidates and non-black candidates, if you will, or non-candidates of color. What happened was that there were many, including Chris Pollard, who certainly felt that that was offensive in the sense that there needed to be additional weight put on us as candidates in order to incentivize clubs to hire. We just thought that that sent the wrong message and that, you know, we should be viewed with equal footing. If I were a white candidate, I would be upset with a system that really suggested that as well. So I think after some reflection, the league decided to go back and take a look at it. And what they decided to do was really give the incentive to those teams that were hiring, nurturing, developing candidates. And if you lose a candidate in that situation, then you would receive compensation in the form of a draft choice. That was much more receptive, I think, overall to that approach than the initial one, and that's the system that we're under today.
Rod Graves, the executive director of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, is our guest here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And Rod, the question I had to, you know, the Raider fans and the Raider organization overall, as we cover them, they're very proud of their history of diversity, going back to Al Davis and kind of his mentality about winning. He didn't care where you came from. He recruited to historically black colleges before the rest of the NFL was really doing it. This year, the Raiders announced, along with UNLV, my alma mater, that they were going to build the Al Davis Eddie Robinson Leadership Academy to help to develop minority coaching and general managers for the NFL. And this is a program to really get to young minorities and African Americans to help them develop the skill set. Now, we've been talking about how there are so many people out there that are qualified who don't necessarily always get a chance, but here's a way to kind of look long term. Talk a little bit about that plan that the Raiders have done with the Al Davis Eddie Robinson Leadership Academy, and then a little bit about the fact that that there's a long-term plan in place that you feel good about with the NFL for sustained growth over time? Because short-term, yeah, we hear about Eric Bieniemy this year. He's the top coaching candidate in the NFL this year. But that's just one coach. That's 1 year. What about that sustained long-term? And will something like the Al Davis, Eddie Robinson Leadership Academy help with that?
Well, first of all, let me go back to the history of the Raiders. And you're exactly right. Al Davis and the Davis family have had a long history and tradition for recognizing African Americans and utilizing them in their leadership structure. You know, I go back to the days of Art Shell and Willie Brown and those guys that are all recognized for leadership, and there are many, many others that have come through that organization. And giving credit to the Davis family and the perspective of and vision of Al Davis, he saw these men for what they were and great contributors to the game, capable of functioning at all levels of the game, both internally and on the field, on the coaching staff. And so, even with respect to women in leadership roles, Amy Trask comes to mind. That was something that certainly was not ordinary back during that particular time. So the Raiders have done an outstanding job. One of the requirements that the teams have been asked to do is to initiate a DE&I, a diversity, equity, and inclusion strategy themselves to implement and to grow and nurture diversity strategies and so forth. And this plan that has been constructed and worked with Las Vegas, with the university there, I believe is outstanding. It is a first step to a long-term effort to curb where we are with respect to the numbers in the NFL and to grow it in areas that go beyond the field, to produce opportunities on the business side where, quite frankly, the record of diversity is just as abysmal as it has been in the leadership structure on the football side. I will say, with respect to efforts in that area, that the league has to do a much better job, I think, convincing me personally and members of the Chris Pollard Alliance that they're sincere about moving forward and changing the landscape. In essence, they've allowed us to continue this conversation and the focus on the field and the lack of diversity with respect to teams. But in reality, the league has not come forth with a comprehensive plan to address all of the subsidiaries under the National Football League. And that includes NFL Films, NFL Properties, NFL Media, all the other subsidiaries that have escaped scrutiny. And if you look at the numbers behind those separate subsidiaries, the performance on diversity, and particularly hiring people of color, in my opinion, is shameful. And so we need to bring attention to that. And if the league is serious about implementing a true, fair, and equitable plan for hiring and growing representation of all colors across the National Football League, then you have to present a comprehensive plan and not one just focused on a particular segment of your business.
Yeah, fantastic. And Rod, I have to say, you know, the work that you got, I know there's a long way to go. You can't claim victory until things are working. And I think it's going to take a lot more time. But I appreciate what you guys are doing. I appreciate what you've done. You had a long career, obviously, in the NFL. And the fact that you're doing this now, says a lot about you and, of course, the organization. If people want to learn more about the Fritz Pollard Organization, we've linked up to the website of the Alliance to see what's going on there. But, Rod, thank you so much for being so generous with your time with us today.
Guys, I've appreciated it, and thank you so much for giving time to this topic.
All right, there you go. Rod great Graves stuff. From the Fritz Pollard Alliance. Rod, have a great year, and best of luck to you moving forward.
Thank you. You too.
It's time to take a break. When we come back, it's that time of the day. It's time for the Q-tip. Don't go anywhere.